I think it's nearly 3 a.m. We've stayed up far too late again, but this will always feel just right. Sitting here and chatting shy, turn off the telly while I take the cups next door, and I will make the bed a little warmer than it was before you live next door. 'Cause you give me goosebumps as my poor little heart it jumps. Let's run away, baby, just you and me. Bite the back of my neck as we make history. No need to be hasty, just wait and see. Me and you both know nostalgia is free.
Hello and welcome to the Talk Tonight podcast. Today I'm joined with the Red Room. It's great to have yous on.
Great to be here.
Just for our listeners or viewers, could you just tell us who yous are and where yous from?
I'm Jess. I'm from Gateshead.
I'm Jake. I'm from also from Gateshead.
I'm Dominic. I'm also from Gateshead.
I'm all from Gateshead.
Yeah, I'm all from Gateshead.
Well, Gateshead massive.
Aye, there we go.
That was it.
So, to get the ball rolling, yous haven't been around for that long. You released your first single at the start of this month, Nostalgia. Has about 5,000 players. And for a band of your size, what did you, like, were you taken aback when you saw the fact that you're halfway to 10,000 players?
I haven't really processed it, to be honest. Like, I can't actually, like, comprehend that, like, we've had, like, 5,000 streams already, and it's not even been a month yet. Like, it is absolutely mental. I don't know, yeah.
It is kind of
It's kind of mad. Like, I was checking all the Spotify artist account yesterday, and I had like 200 people listening to it at the same time. It was that, I don't know.
It's mad. Like, obviously, we're just over the moon with it, and like, we don't really. I don't know. I'm just shocked, but obviously,
I like when people who don't know listen to it because it's like,
oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, I touched on it in one of my recent blog posts. Obviously, bigging the single up, and like by the looks of it, I think a lot of that was a good reception with our readers over at Happy People.
Yeah.
But obviously, like you are from the Northeast, and you do have a good friendship with the Baltics, who were my first hosts on this podcast, and. Seeing these like releases and these up and coming bands in the Northeast at the moment, do you like sort of feel like this is our moment to shine?
Yeah, in a way, I think it's great because lots of like local bands are releasing music by themselves and not with labels, and it's growing like a lot more than it has been in the past. And I think like it's great because it shows that we can do it on our own and we don't have to, you know, have like a certain status or anything to get streams and stuff.
DIY, like recording and releasing.
Oh yeah.
And obviously a lot of like listeners and a lot of fans, you know, when they see like the effort you have to go through to sort of release your own material without a label, I think they can sort of appreciate that whilst they're listening to your music and other bands who have released their own music on like without a record label. You sort of got to appreciate that hard work, haven't you, really?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Obviously, the inevitable. I did say before the interview that I would try and not let this take a large segment up of the podcast, but we're still in lockdown, unfortunately. Obviously, I've released Nostalgia, but apart from that, has it been sort of a really busy lockdown for your band, or has it been, you know?
We went to the studio about a month ago last week, and that was really like really exciting when we got out. Chuffed a bit of the song, but other than that, I guess like Jess has been writing songs like Shaw's doing. I mean, we've all just like started college and that, so
yeah. For me, lockdown was like really, really busy. Like, I was just writing music the whole time. It's when I wrote Nostalgia, and like quite a few other ones, but yeah, for me, it was really good time to like develop my writing skills because like, it lacked like a certain aspect that I wanted, and it was busy for songwriting, but apart from that, for us as a band, I don't know, like just as like the lockdown measures were like weakened and stuff, that's when it got busier, I think.
Well, obviously Nostalgia, and I assume this is my blog post, that it's sort of about, you know, the memories that we had before we went into lockdown and how we missed them. Is there anything else that is like that song's about, or is there anything else to that song? That song, why did you write that tune?
The song, well, I wrote the chorus first, but the song's about like four different people and like the relationship I had with each of them, kind of thing. And like, obviously, me, like, looking back, I always find it easier to write about things that have happened than are currently happening to me. Like, yeah, it's just like kind of a simple song about four different people and like the narrative intertwines into one, kind of. Yeah.
I feel that you've been in the studio over lockdown. One question: have you been following the rule of six in the studio?
Yeah.
Or did you like? Did you have to like hire a grouse for it to come in, and so you could have more than six people in it?
Was it not before the rule of six?
I think it was before the rule of six.
It was before the rule of six.
So I had a couple of friends in there.
I'm only messing with you, to be fair. Don't worry, I'm not going to grass you up to the podium.
Pure report way. It was before.
Yeah.
This is your CID investigation for breaking such a heinous... but yeah, obviously, like, I can imagine like you just have been busy over lockdown. Most bands have. Obviously, unfortunately, being in the Northeast, we've been placed in the Tier 2. What do you think that sort of holds for many gig venues in the local area and for musicians such as yourselves?
It's a tricky one, isn't it? Like, I think, was someone else trying to speak there?
Go on.
All right. No, I think obviously it's a really tricky time for a lot of independent venues as well, you know, like small businesses and stuff. And like the O2's just being taken over by someone else, hasn't it? It's being closed down or something. So like, a lot of music venues are going to suffer, as well as like hospitality and everything. But I don't know, for us, it hasn't been, obviously with gigging and stuff, like that's how we get our exposure. So like that's being put on hold. But I don't know, it's kind of like half and half because then people are listening to the tune, obviously, yeah, all the time. So it's not been a good time, but also like, you know, and there's the whole thing with the government, like, cutting funds with arts and all that stuff and like saying that artists have to retrain and all that bollocks. Like,
well, I mean, I'm gonna go back on my words here saying that I don't want it to take a large segment like up on the podcast, but now you're going on the subject. I had the great Leslie on last week and I gave them a few minutes to let Rishi Sunak and Boris Johnson know the concerns. So I'm gonna ask you, do you have any words that you say that you want to say to Her Majesty the Government, Boris Johnson and Rishi Sunak? Do you have any words that you want to say to them?
Yes, I do. I saw this point made on Twitter, I think. In that first initial lockdown that we had, you know, where we literally couldn't leave the houses, like, if we didn't have, like, any forms of entertainment, music, if you couldn't listen to music, if you couldn't watch films, if you couldn't read books, if you couldn't, like, you know, do whatever, we would actually have fuck all to do. And the fact is, they're, like, you know, kind of, we're pushed to the bottom of the pile, and, like, the arts are, like, seen as almost irrelevant by the Tory government. And it's like, well, you would actually have nothing to do if we didn't exist.
I saw, in times of when like, something really bad has happened, when like, they always get, like, artists to come out. You know, like, the Manchester bombings, like, when the thing, they got, like, Liam Gallagher and that. So,
I mean, we're from the North East. It's, you know, they should care about us. I'm being sarcastic because it's the Tories, we're crying out loud.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
But my opinion on it is that, like, the Hayes definitely went to see a theatre show and something to do with the art, and he's going to go back on his word instantly. I'm telling you this. And
well, do you know how actually the contempt of the art actually came about? Funny enough, Dominic Cummins, we all know who he is from these parts, especially Barnard Castle. He said in a, I think it was a group chat with the government and you know, the guys who run the government and the gals who run the government. I don't know, the lizards. Anyhow. He pretty much said something on the lines. I don't know the exact quote, so I'm, you know, if I don't want Dominic Cummins to come out for me if I sort of misquote him, but I'd happily misquote him anyway because it is Dominic Cummins. What's he going to do? He said something more on the lines like that did sort of show contempt for the arts. I mean, come on, how can he have contempt for the greatest export that this country's like?
Yeah, exactly.
Completely.
But obviously,
it's ridiculous.
It's like,
and like when they start making cuts and stuff, like, you know, if they do, which I won't be surprised, like, they will see a massive impact, 100%.
I mean, obviously, come from the North East, it's all we've got around here now. That and football, music and football is all we've got because obviously I can imagine you being from Gateshead, and Gateshead I talked to the Baltics about this like a few weeks ago because obviously when you're from the North, when it's like a North Eastern band, I love to like sort of big us up in front of our listeners who are from like not the Northeast, but like back like in the Northeast, back in Gateshead especially, there used to be a massive shipbuilding industry that got decimated. Now you've got loads of artists come through and they're like, are those having fun? Let's get rid of them. It's weird.
They've just got something against her.
They just need to, I'll tell you who we should put up against the government. Do you know Buzzcocks?
Yes.
Get him up.
Get your Uncle Buzzcocks. We should get him. Have a one-on-one fist.
I reckon so that would be brilliant. I reckon
they'd run away crying, man. They'd run away crying. Wouldn't know what to do.
But obviously, nostalgia is sort of blown up over the last month. News yourselves have blown up because obviously, a lot of North Eastern bands that I follow, I say it, like, they always mention the Red Room in any of the posts. Obviously, gigs, that's uncertain. Are you looking forward to sort of gig in front of these socially distanced gigs, or is that just like not sit right with your vibes?
It doesn't sit right with me at all.
Honestly, I'm happy to wait until gigs are allowed, like back, like normal gigs, and we just do a massive, like, fucking one that actually goes off. Then do like a little socially distant one with like I don't know, like, I think it's great because bands are getting to play, and obviously, you know, money's being made and stuff, and like, gigging and shit like that. But like, I'm personally happy to just wait.
I agree.
Yeah, I'm with that.
Well,
they're right with me personally. So
it doesn't, like, with a mosh pitting thing, like, we, even like any band, will have like massive crowd at the front, jumping, having fun. Whereas like with social, it just doesn't sit right. I don't think I could have fun at one.
It's a good alternative, though. It's a good alternative.
Yeah.
Because,
I just don't think it really suits, like, our music.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, I went to one, I think it was last week. It was the Baltics, surprisingly enough. They were supporting...
Oh, yeah, the Thieves.
They were supporting... Oh, God, I forgot the name of the band.
The Thieves,
that's it. I don't know how I forgot the Thieves, because obviously I wrote a review about them a few days ago. But, yeah, they were supporting the Thieves. It was all right. Like, you know, it was good to sort of be back, like, in, like, watching live music, you know. It was weird. Obviously, you have to go up, you have to get your drinks delivered, and I'm old-fashioned. I love going up to the bar and paying with my, like, £5 notes, getting, like, a pint of lager or anything. But when you look at the bands that are on that bill, socially distanced gigs are more suited, I'd say, for... If you're trying to get, like, a family atmosphere at, like, a gig, more suited for. And you see that obviously with concerts, most families sort of like are seated. But when you had the Thieves and the Baltics playing, you just sort of, you got the urge to get up and just dance, but obviously you can't. It's just, most bands rely on that atmosphere when they play live music. I can imagine you do when you play live music, and it's just sort of a bit of a blow, really.
Yeah.
It's definitely, it's like one of our strong points. Like, the we'll get the crowd going.
Getting the crowd going is like the getting highlight. The
I mean, I can see the chorus of Nostalgia. I can see that being a real crowd pleaser in the near future.
Hope so.
Good sing-along.
Not hope so. It's definitely, it will be, especially with sort of just everything about that song, because it sounds like I'm going to sort of kiss you in a minute, the way that I'm like sort of licking your asses here. But Nostalgia, for that as a debut like release, it's sort of, you know... It's a masterpiece, really. You'd think that would be on like an album or something, really, one of your albums. But it was just it's a debut, and it's perfect. It's ripe and it's perfect. That's all I've got to say. You know, everything. Obviously, each and everybody has played a massive part in that song, and you know, you've done well, really, from Jess's vocals to Dom's bass playing. You are the bass, aren't you, Dom?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, you got that. Get in. Yes.
Yes.
And to Jake Valley as well, like, just the entire, like, from structure to songwriting, it's a great song, it's a masterpiece, and I don't get how it's not reached its 10,000 plays yet. I know it's only been out, like, less than a month, but come on. Come on, people, listen to the Red
Room.
Come
on! It'll get there.
New playlist.
Well, have you got any other releases planned for the remainder of this year? Well, what's left of 2020?
Well,
I would say, I don't know, we don't have a date yet, but I would say this year, definitely before the end of this year.
Maybe before December, if it happens.
You're lucky.
If you're lucky.
Yeah,
this one,
A lot faster.
Yeah, it's a lot slower.
Yeah. It's definitely like when we've played like certain people both of the tunes, there's never been one where people have been like, I preferred that one. It's always like, I love both of them for different reasons, and that's what's great. So
I agree.
Yeah, I'm really excited about the next one. Like,
treating you all to a Christmas present there.
Yeah,
right.
Part of Christmas. And I think Charlie's got this, but on your social media, you posted this. Is it a sweet shop that's local to use? Does the mashup of chocolate bars? There we are, the Wanker Bar.
Send them by Cheeky Chocolate. Big up Cheeky Chocolates.
Big up Cheeky Chocolates.
Cheeky Chocolates.
You want to get your Christmas present sorted, so get onto Instagram, get onto Facebook, get on the Twitter or whatever, on the web. And what is it? Well, I've used it in the promotion because you bought the product, so you might as well advertise it.
Lovely stuff. Got sent. Lovely stuff. Bye. Good.
So, obviously, you have got plans for a new release in the next, like, few months. Gigs, did you have anything planned whilst lockdown was going on? Or do you have anything planned, obviously?
Well, the week lockdown happened, we had 3 gigs in Newcastle City Centre, the Wonder Bar.
Yeah.
And
real.
Literally, lockdown happened on the Friday we were meant to play. So
yeah, it was.
But Charlie, do you want to talk about what we've got planned?
Yeah, to just starting to set up our first headline at Think Tank. So I mean, massive drop.
Any Think Tank? I've been there in the past. Yeah. And the gigs I've seen, I've enjoyed. Yeah. So do tell us why, actually, because I want to. I'm quite intrigued now.
Well, we play there a lot anyway, so it's probably like the most accessible for the people who are coming to the gig. So yeah, we're sort of getting that sorted, but we don't know when that's officially going to be announced because, you know, the Rona and that.
Yeah, well, let's just hope that Rona gets lost and we can actually start gigging, start moshing.
Exactly.
Yes.
Get the grooves on.
Get the grooves, get the vibe going. You know, that's sort of what you need. I think the problem is that Boris Johnson just has bad vibes and that's why he's sort of like...
You know. He's got such bad vibes.
One second, I need to close my window. Someone's lawnmower. I need to close my window.
Also really cool.
It is freezing.
I do reckon he's a shit dancer, like. I couldn't see him at one of the gigs.
I couldn't see him at a gig. Nah, couldn't see it.
Look at nah. Him. Well, funny enough, he said that his favourite band was The Clash.
Oh, you can piss off. Like, David Cameron said his favourite band was The Jam and his favourite song was...
Really?
I like The Clash.
Can you look?
No, I know, but like Bojo cannot have them. No,
what's the do sing about London and that, but
no, but Eating Rifles was completely like politics, and he was like kind of saying like f off to the politicians.
Exactly.
And like David Cameron was like, my favorite. He came up with Paul Weller and was like, my favorite song's Eating Rifles and all that. And then Paul Weller like said some smirky comments, and didn't even know what it's about.
Would you ever allow that though? Would you ever allow like a politician to say that like their favourite song was one of your favourites? And if who would it be?
Depends who it was.
All right, that's
a massive list of musicians who like told Donald Trump to stop using his music and like saying he likes it.
They try and do it to be in touch with people, but it's just they obviously don't like it.
Yeah,
you know what I
mean?
It's just trying to be nice, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean. Obviously, let's just hope that he was more nicer and just didn't show contempt for such a glorious industry. But anyhow, I'm not going to sort of ruin this with politics because I can go on for years. Obviously, Newcastle. What's happening in Newcastle at the moment? Because you've got the Baltics, you've got Spilt Milk. Further south, you've got the Thieves. It's like a meteor.
We all know each other and we're all...
Yeah, we're pretty well connected, to be fair, like, or like those type of bands do know each other and stuff. I think the Thieves, I don't know if they're releasing a song soon, are they?
Yeah, yes, they've got some plans, so I look forward to that actually. But it's just mad, isn't it? Because in 30 years ago, everyone was like, Manchester, they're the biggest thing, it'll sort of be the biggest thing for like a long time, and that's slowly gone away. And the Northeast is like sort of like, I know that I'm sort of sucking my own cock here by pretty much saying, well, blow my own trumpet. I'm pretty much blowing my own trumpet here saying, oh yeah, the Northeast is big for music. But it is big for music.
Like, oh yeah.
Cool. There's venues everywhere. There's amazing recording studios.
It's growing. It's growing because like, it used to like kind of not be that good. But I feel like the local music like scene is growing so much more than it has in the past.
And like even like Sam Fender is the one of the biggest artists ever, and he's from Newcastle.
Yeah, well, funny enough, I was talking to someone about Sam Fender, and obviously when people, because people actually think that Sam Fender is Newcastle, but we all know, being from the Northeast, he's not from Newcastle.
Shields.
But obviously, so you got Sam Fender leading at the front, and you got Use, the Baltics, Spilt Milk, and the Thieves. And people are like, we should actually start listening to the Northeast now because they're coming out with some like banging tunes. I mean, Manchester's only the thing with Manchester though, you only got two bands, Oasis and Stone Roses. The rest are just like, you know, if you're that into the scene. But with the Northeast music scene at the moment, it's just I'm fortunate enough to like pretty much discover bands like yourselves and bands in the area. So let's just hope that something comes out of it.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed, I guess. One thing I've got 10 minutes left of recording because I'm a bit tight and I don't really want to pay for full Zoom membership. So what we're going to do quickly, I do this with many bands, is give me your top five Bevs, alcoholic or non-alcoholic.
Ooh, all right.
Okay. So mine, my favourite drink is the Japanese Asahi, you know, the big beers.
Ah, yes, Asahi.
Yes, yeah. Yes, them ones. Oh my god, they're so nice.
One more time, Asahi.
Top five.
As a band, like individually.
Let's just do it as a band because right. Zoom are pretty much pulling me with a stick, being like, get off now.
I'll have a good pint of wife beater. Can't go wrong, really. Can't go wrong.
You're right. You can't go
wrong. Stella.
I think on the books, I just love a good Coke Zero. But off the books, I'm quite fond of a dog.
Off the books, he likes a Coke Zero. How about you, Charlie?
Off the books.
I like a good Bud Light, I think. Nice Bud Light.
I like Coors as well.
Or some red wine. Do like a good red wine.
I mean, that is very classy. That it goes down well with a meal.
I mean, a bottle of Lambrini.
Classy.
Blue Wicked.
Come on, Charlie. You're a very classy guy here.
I know.
He is. He's the classy one. He's the classy one out of all of us.
Well, every time I try to order cider in Spain, I order this massive bottle of Prosecco. So, I tried to order cider and they came out with this like massive bottle of Prosecco. So, I had to drink the Prosecco all day.
Next gig that you have, right? Make sure that Dom supplies the Prosecco. Because, how great would that be to conclude an evening?
You should open it all over the crowd.
Yeah. And you should shake. Pop it so it goes everywhere.
Just
one. You've got to trust me, we'll pop a bottle of Prosecco in the middle of a full room.
Proud?
Wouldn't try it, like.
Well, nah. Back in the O2 days, I went to see Matt DeMarco and he came out with a big bottle of wine and he just started walking. You know, you've got to see him live. There's no way to describe it.
He's my favourite artist. Smash.
I really want to see him live.
I love him, man.
He's on the bucket list, like.
He's crazy live.
He is crazy live. Well, I mean, obviously, we sort of have a bit of time before Zoom sort of pretty much silenced me. The guys behind his webcam, Jesus Christ, the government are after me. We started talking about the
CIA.
After me. But going back to the O2. Just before, because this is something I want to touch on before we conclude today's interview. Do you have any memorable moments from the O2 when it was the O2 that are sort of going to be missed now? Because it's not
right. So I went to an Arctic Monkeys cover band, and my dad went, and bear in mind, he was like pretty big. And me and Dominic were in the mosh pit, and he was moshing, and he fell over and about wiped out about 20 girls who were like 14. And like completely flattened the entire mosh pit.
Jesus Christ.
Honestly, that was I went to Arctic Monkeys about 2 weeks before that, the real ones at the Utilia. And I have to say, Jake's dad falling on about 9 girls pinballing them over is one of my favourite moments.
Who's on Pinball Wizard?
Yes.
That's Jake's dad.
Wait, what's this?
Pinball Wizard.
Oh, he loves that song.
I've got to say for me, it's got to be singing with Sam Fender, probably.
That I think that beats anyone's
memory. Yeah.
Well, Jake's dad's like a hard one to come by, to be fair. But, like, I'll give him.
Like, I was absolutely. I was so like happy that you got up with Sam Fender. It looked amazing.
It was like just. Looking over at this like completely sold out O2 crowd was like a feeling that like I can never recreate. Like I was just like, oh my god! I was like, right, don't fuck this up. You've actually got up now. Like you cannot fuck this up. And to be fair, I didn't. I thought I went absolutely ham and like I went for it and stuff. But that was definitely like one of the best moments.
Well,
in the O2.
That was for all those that love Sam Fender. Listen to these because there's more to life. In the northeast, and just Sam Fender.
Exactly. It's the Red Room.
Red Room.
Exactly.
You know, it's like getting your photograph taken. It's a very great experience because, well, I'm just sort of doing symbolism with the Red Room here because obviously Red Room is what you use for taking pictures. So if you want to create memorable moments, listen to nostalgia.
Exactly. Good promotion.
Yeah, exactly.
Because obviously bands at the moment need so much support, and bands like the Red Room, without your support, they're going to be like the dinosaurs. They're going to go.
100%.
So make sure you have a soundtrack to all your memorable moments. Listen to the Red Room's nostalgia. Look out for bands like the Red Room and support bands in your local area. But if you're from Newcastle, support these guys because these are working tirelessly to create great music.
Yeah, that is way too true.
Spot on. You've hit the nail on the head there.
Oh, cheers.
We should get them for promotions, man.
Oh, you're right.
I mean, I'm currently unemployed, so I mean, that would be...
Well, we have nobody anyway, so it's fine.
Right.
Probably not two pence.
Right, anyone that's in the promotion, get on to these guys because these are going to be the next big thing out the northeast. Get on to them.
Yeah, we are. Who's the rapper?
Anyway, nostalgia's out on all stream platforms. It's it came out 1st of October. It's available to listen on Spotify, SoundCloud, Deezer.
All that jazz.
I know Spotify.
It's on Amazon as well, man.
It's on Amazon. Listen to them. A bunch of class people that are producing a lot of class music and they're destined for big things. Expect big things. Just listen to them. It's not hard.
Just listen. Not hard.
But anyway,
listen.
Even if you don't like it, just listen to it. Give it a try.
Listen to it. Why not? You might as well. Do you know what I mean?
Why not? You might end up dancing in your underpants to it. You might, you know, sort of start jumping up and down, pretend that you're in a mosh.
Might have your first kiss to it. You know,
Who knows? Ideal.
It's ideal. So I mean, just listen to it. That's all I've got to say. Just listen to it. Don't just do it. Just listen to it.
Sound.
Do or do not, there is no try, you know what I mean?
Exactly. But it's been great having you on. Obviously, I look forward to seeing you in the future. I can't wait. Can't wait to hear these new releases because that's going to be a real Christmas treat. And is there anything that you want to say to our viewers and listeners before I conclude?
Listen to Nostalgia. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for having us on this
podcast. It's been a pleasure.
Back in the Red Room's taking over. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go, baby.
You had good questions as well.
Oh, thank you, Dom. I do try my best.
Questions. The beverage one did tickle me fancy.
I look forward to seeing you in the future, and it's been a real pleasure having you.
Cheers.
Thank you for having us.